Hi, friends. Welcome to the Scripture Society podcast, where we help women on their journey of knowing and loving Jesus more and more every day. Our hope is that we can help you tell a more beautiful story and grow in your knowledge of the one who wrote it. Hi, Kylie.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. I'm excited.
I'm so excited, too, because we have a very, 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 very special guest with us.
Yes.
This is Miss Val Hoover.
Yes.
Hi, Val. Hello. Welcome to the Scripture Society podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. I'm so excited that you said yes. You are someone who Kylie and I feel like has such a vibrant prayer life, and that's exactly what we're going to be able to get to talk to today as part of our Art of Formation spiritual practices kind of theme for this season. I think that prayer is honestly something that I struggle with and still feel like I'm growing in and evolving in, and so I can't wait for you to share all your wisdom with us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
so like Olive said, we're going through kind of twofold this season. So we've gone through how to study the Bible. Now we're going to focus on spiritual disciplines. And prayer is obviously one of those spiritual disciplines that's so important. You see it throughout Scripture. So, but we also know, like Olive just said, that it's really hard for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. We know we should pray. Maybe we've been taught some tips how to pray, but it's kind of hard to take that step into actually having a prayerful life. So before we kind of get into that practical stuff, I kind of want to start like high level. What is prayer? When we say prayer, what do we mean? We don't have to have like a perfect definition for it, but if you were to define it just for anyone, what would you say prayer is?
Yes. Kind of a technical answer would be prayer is talking to God by faith. I guess when I think about it, it really is having a relationship with Him. Prayer is how we develop, one of the ways we develop that relationship with Him. And so I know when I was younger, I used to think of prayer as just a checklist of, you know, these are the things I need, Lord, and checking them off. I remember in college, I had an hour in between two of my classes on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I would go to this chapel on campus, and Monday would be like, I pray for the world, and Wednesday would be, I pray for my family, and Friday I'd be, I, you know, pray for something else, and it truly was that I would sit there and I'd say, okay, Lord, and, you know, I'd go through my list and check it all off. And I think that that is part of prayer. God definitely wants us to come to Him with our requests, with our needs. But over the years, I've realized that prayer is just a way of being in His presence and just in communicating Him in a relationship. And just like as a parent, you know, you don't want your relationship with your children just to be there always coming to you. I need this. I need that. You know, right, I need this. You want them to share their heart with you. You want them just to sit with you, enjoy things with you. And so I think being a parent has helped me realize even more what God wants in a relationship and in prayer. And it's not just me always asking.
I love that. I love one thing that first put me on to that idea of prayer being practicing presence is I read this book called Practicing the Presence. That's what it's called, Practicing the Presence, by Brother Lawrence. And just reading about somebody who was so aware of that fact, just that, you know, because we can get bogged down in our minds. I feel like it's like, oh, prayer needs to be like a conversation like it is when I talk with everyone else. And it definitely can be, but it can also just be like sitting in His presence and just, you know, being, I guess, mindful almost and like what comes to mind. Okay, well, I'll pray about that and just like communing with Him. And it's, I feel like also, like you said, such a test of faith because it's like, if you don't actually believe that God's presence is like a real thing, that doesn't really feel like something you can do. So I do feel like that is such a, it feels theological and mystical, but in this, in the same sense, it's very real. It feels tangible almost when you sit down and try to practice something like that. That's really good.
Yeah, I think another beautiful aspect of prayer too is it's sort of the art of slowing down and slowing your heart and slowing your mind. And it's bringing to mind the story of Mary and Martha and how, like, Jesus, when he was on earth, actually talked to people. And a lot of times he talked to people in a lot of different ways. Sometimes he was correcting them. A lot of times he's correcting them with the Pharisees. You can see how he interacts. But, like, with someone who he would call a servant or a follower, he says, you know, Martha, Martha, when she's so stressed and anxious, he slows her down and says, Martha, Martha, or my dear Martha. And he, like, slows her down before he lovingly gives her instruction. And I think that that's, like, such a beautiful way to think about prayer, too, of, like, okay, we can kind of slow our mind and our hearts down and, like, the chaos that's going on and all the things that are distracting us from the Lord. Like, we can slow that down and call on the Lord and, like, through that sort of, like, almost meditative practice of prayer, because I think that there's different ways you can pray, which I'll definitely ask you more about because I'm so curious. Like, we can slow our hearts down and our thoughts down before the Lord and really, like, open ourselves up to receive and listen to what he has to say. So anyways, I would love to hear about, like, how do you pray? Like, what has your prayer life looked like over the course of your life? How has it changed? Do you have, like, a formula that you do, or is it more of, like, practicing the presence? Just tell me, like, how you would say you pray today.
I think it's different things. I love what you were saying about listening and calming down. So I think of the verse, you know, be still and know that I am God. And so many times when I start, I might just be quiet and just visualize, you know, him being with me. And then I might also say, Lord, what do you want to talk about today? And that goes along with the importance of the word, because that's really how God speaks to us. And so maybe trying to start off, you know, looking at his word and then asking him to speak. But there are times that I set aside really just to be still and let him kind of guide the conversation and guide where it's going. And I do think listening is as important as talking, you know, in prayer. It's not, again, just us talking, but hearing what he wants to say to us. And a big way, again, is through his word. So part of the time is just set aside time where I'm upstairs in the room and, you know, I've blocked that time out, and it's really for God to speak through his word and just have that still time with him. But then there's also times where, again, it is, you know, Lord, these are needs, these are requests, and it's sort of set aside time to talk through those requests. But also trying to have it be just all day long, you know, communing with him. I might be washing dishes, and as he brings people to mind, you know, pray for them, or just talk to him about, again, the day, and Lord, you know, what do you have for me today? Like, this is my plan. This is what I think I'm supposed to do today. But Father, help me to be open if you want me to do something. And I'll give you an example. I was at a ladies' weekend a couple weekends ago, and we had set aside time to be alone with God. So I was taking a prayer walk, and I was so excited just to kind of process with the Lord, you know, things we had been learning. And I'm walking up the street where this retreat was, and there was a big driveway. It kind of went very steep. And at the bottom, I saw this older woman, and she waved to me, you know, real hard like that. And I waved back, and I'm walking along, and I sort of sense in my spirit, go talk with her. And at first I was like, oh, Lord, this is like my time with you. I wanted to, you know, wanted to process. I wanted to. So I'll be honest, I didn't immediately turn around and go talk with her. I walked some more, and God and I were kind of wrestling. And he was like, you know, you've been telling me you want me to lead and guide you, and you want to surrender what your plan is to me. And here's an example of, I would like you to go talk with her. And so I kind of wrestled a little more. And then I said, okay, Lord, I will turn around and walk back. If you want me to go talk with her, you know, if she's still sitting there, I'll go talk with her. And so I walked back by, and not only did she wave at me, but she was like this. Oh, I mean, she was waving. I was like, okay, Lord, I get the point. And so I walked down, and I sat with her, and we talked for about an hour. And she was precious. She invited me in her house. And it was a very sweet time. She's 93. And at the end, like, when I was sitting there, at first I thought, well, maybe she's not a believer. Maybe God wants me to go down and share with her. But she was a believer. And so I'm thinking, well, this is a really sweet conversation, but God, you know, why did you want me to come down? Yeah. And at the end, she almost had tears in her eyes. Mm-hmm. And she said, thank you so much for coming to talk with me. She's like, I was so lonely. She lives by herself. Oh. She's like, I was so lonely, and I really was asking God to, you know, help me and give me someone to talk to. And when she said that, I like started crying. I'm like, oh my gosh. And yeah. It was like, Lord, forgive me for, you know, hesitating yeah. when you put this on my heart. Yeah. But that's part of prayer that I'm learning again is, you know, to tell him things, but not tell him things, but, you yeah. know, talk to him, but also really listen and yeah. try to be open to the leading mm-hmm. of his spirit. And also not to have my agenda, because yeah. I like to check mm-hmm. off the boxes. And so I'm learning, you know, not to have my agenda and to be open to him and his yeah. leading. Yeah. So
I love that story. And what I love about that story is that you are so familiar with the voice of God, you know what he sounds like. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but you were immediately obedient. And yeah, you're a little hesitant, mm-hmm. but like when you knew and you got clarity that that's, and you got, had the confirmation that that's what God was doing, like mm-hmm. you were immediately obedient. And so sometimes, honestly, like candidly in my prayer life, when I'm trying to listen to the Lord, or if I feel like I have like, oh, I kind of feel like I have this on my heart, mm-hmm. but like, I don't know if that's for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's mm-hmm. just like some idea that I think is good. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. I always assume that it's probably for me and not from God. So mm-hmm. like, I don't really need to worry about it. Mm-hmm. So can you speak to like someone who may be struggling with like discerning the voice of God? Mm-hmm. How did you grow in that skill? Mm-hmm. Have you always, you know, had like kind of the immediate obedience, or like how did you learn how to discern the voice from God? Like, what is for you? What is God saying for you?
That's a good question. That is a great question. And please know I have in no way arrived in that because I still am, again, even yeah. that day, I'm like, Lord, is that you? Is that yeah. me? Like, who is that? So I still need to yeah. very much grow in that. But a lot of times I'll stop and first say, okay, how does that line up with scripture? Mm, you know, is there great. Something that I'm sensing? Mm. And does that, is there anything in scripture that would go along with that? Or is that, you know, mm-hmm. just my idea? And a lot of times I wish I was more like Abraham. I mean, it's amazing, you know, when God called him to sacrifice Isaac, he got up early the next morning. I mean, when I read that, I'm like, you got up early to go sacrifice your son, you know? Yeah. And then when God called them to be circumcised, same thing. It says immediately that day he went and circumcised all his people. Crazy. And I know it really is. I mean, two very difficult things. Yes. Yeah, and he did not hesitate. Yeah. And I'm like, Lord, I would love to have faith like that. Yeah. So, but a lot of times if I have a sensing, I kind of stop and pray and ask, you know, how does it line up with scripture? And then sometimes I'm like, Lord, I don't know whether this is you or me, but I would rather err on doing it in case it is you trust you to protect the consequences if, you know, if this isn't you. But I do think a lot of it comes from as you sense things, if then you're obedient, then afterwards you can say, okay, that was God. So that nudging, that was him, and I can learn next time. That's what the nudging felt like. So even with this woman, you know, there were other times where I felt that, and then I've responded to it, and I saw it afterwards, yes, God was calling me to do that. Mm. So it really is, I think, just walking out in faith and then trusting God and then seeing what he does from it. But I do think that is something a lot of people struggle with because we do just have thoughts that pop into your mind. Right. And so is it you? Is it not you? And so that's a great question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that. I love that it seems like scripture is a big part of your prayer life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something some people miss when they're initially taught about prayer. Mm-hmm. Either just because they're focusing on other things, focusing on the fact that, you know, getting over the uncomfortability of it or whatever it is. But I feel like a lot of times it's kind of like a, at least in my experience, I didn't realize that scripture could be a part of my prayer life until like maybe college years. Mm-hmm. And I love what you're saying is that you keep bringing it up that, you know, oh, is this from God? Let me look to scripture. Or when you don't know what to pray, let me look to scripture. Because I feel like sometimes we kind of think all these spiritual disciplines are in isolation of each other. We think, okay, I know I should read the Bible. I know I should pray. But we're kind of missing the idea that faith is holistic. Everything is, it's all working together because it's all doing the same thing for us. And so I love you combining these things, but also I want to know if you always did that. Is that something that you were taught to do? And then I want to know, are there some verses that it's like that you're always going back to in your prayer life? Or is that kind of like, maybe did you, is this something you work out? Like, do you memorize scripture for the occasion if nothing comes to mind? Like, what's kind of, what is it like for you?
Yes. So scripture does help so much. And when I was in college, I'm very grateful that I had a experience that showed me the importance of knowing God's word. And I was on what's called like a summer training project where college students go and spend the summer together and you do Bible study and pray and all that. And they did this very interesting thing where they pretended that we were in Russia, which at the time was still communist. And so the staff were kind of like the KGB. They were the police. And we were trying to find the secret meeting of the saints, it was called. So we were in Ocean City, New Jersey, and we're walking all around the town. And there were clues and all that that would help you find the secret meeting. But anyway, we got to the secret meeting, and they were talking about how, you know, if you did not have the Bible, how much of God's word do you know? And I thought, I mean, I've read it, you know, I've studied it, but I don't have it memorized. If something ever happened and my Bible was taken away, I don't know much scripture. And that really showed me the importance of taking time to memorize scripture. And so I was very grateful for that. And I'll tell you, to this day, those verses, for a long time I was going over them to really try to get them, you know, in my head, but still I would say verses that I focused on 40 some years ago will still come in my head. And so it's never a waste of time, you know, to memorize scripture. And it is amazing to be able to pray through scripture. One I pray a lot is Colossians 3:12, and it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, even as the Lord has forgiven you. And there's so much in that verse, like starting off and saying, God, thank you that I'm one of your chosen people. Thank you that I'm your child and I'm holy and dearly loved. Thank you, Lord. I praise you for what you've done, that I'm holy and dearly loved. So it starts off really focusing on him and thanking him for what he's done. And then it talks about, you know, qualities, humility, gentleness, patience. So not only praying that for myself, but praying that for other people. And then if someone's sharing with me about a struggle they're having with someone, you know, bearing with each other, that's something that I can pray that that person that through the Spirit can bear with that other person and forgive that other person. And so scripture is so helpful in knowing how to pray for people. And in Colossians, there's several excellent prayers. Ephesians has some more excellent prayers. I mean, there's a lot all through the Bible. You've probably heard of the prayer of Jabez as well. But I do have a list, and I probably should have brought it with me, that just lists, you know, the different prayers that are in the Bible. And when I don't know how to pray for people especially, I'll just take one of those and pray through it, because you know it's God's will. If it's God's word, it's God's will. And so it can hurt praying that. And there's power in the word of God. So you know your prayers are being filled, you know, with power because his word is living and active. So, I think for someone, praying through the scripture is a great thing. And even having them printed out, and I usually have them in my Bible that I can just read through them, or some of them I do have memorized.
I love that. That's beautiful. Okay, let's talk about prayer as intercession for other people. Because I think one thing that you do so well is if you meet someone, you're praying for them. Yeah. Like, anytime we were at church, I would look over and you were praying for someone.
Right.
And
there.
So have you always been that way? Has that been something that's always been in you, or is that another skill you've had to grow in? And also, I'd just love for you to talk about like the gift that it is that we get to intercede for people through prayer. Because that's something I've been thinking about a lot, especially with like kind of the crazy movements of God we're seeing today in different places that are unexpected. And something that's been on my heart recently that my church has been saying a lot is like God comes where he's wanted. And so when you look at all the significant moves of God throughout church history, it's like there was always preparation of prayer beforehand. And so I like love the idea of like intercession and like praying for God to move and change people in a way that's really tangible and really observable. And so, I don't know, I would love to just hear your thoughts on prayer as intercession.
I definitely would say I have grown in that, but even from a younger age, if I was talking to someone at the end, I just felt like, I can't do anything for you, but God can. And so let's take this to him. So
I love that.
It's the humility.
But I just sort of grew in it in that, again, because a lot of times when you're talking with people, they're either sharing burdens or they're sharing something that they're about to do, or they're usually saying something that you can pray about or pray for. And so I just feel like to walk away and not pray just feels like I wasn't helpful at all or anything like that. And another thing too is when people will share things, I know if I say I'll pray for you, it's best to just stop right then and there and do it.
I love that.
I know for me too, you know, when I share something with someone and they pray for me, it's such a blessing. You just feel like you have just left your burdens, you know, out for the Lord and can just trust him with it. But yes, I I'm not sure exactly when that started, but that's, I guess, how I feel a lot of times talking with someone is then to pray for them.
It's so incredible. I just like, I remember the first time you prayed for me in person, and I was so like, nobody had ever done that for me. And I was like, first I was like, oh my goodness, what do I do? We're just in public. Like, oh, okay, I guess we're going to do it. But then I was like, wow, like you don't even have to say words that you care for me, because that's obvious when you ask to pray. And I remember you had just found out that my husband and I led like a group of high schoolers. And you asked me specifically, what time will your group start? And you said, I will be praying at that time. And I remember when I went to group, I thought, I am so ready for this group, because I know Val is praying for me right now. And I was just like, how incredible. I wish I was more like that. It's not just, like you said, oh, I'm going to pray for you. Because then also, do we do that when we say that a lot of times? But it's like, oh, why even say it? I'll do it right now. Or if I am going to do it later, because there's something, a conversation coming up or a surgery, like, well, let me ask, when is it going to be? I'm going to pray at that moment. And it's just believing that that is bringing community, like you talked about in that Colossians verse, it's like showing that compassion and humility. And I just feel like that is Christ, you know, showing, going that extra mile of showing love. The fact that prayer can be such a tool for that, I feel like it's, that's a very untapped tool that we don't always use.
I love when you're using the lens of how can I pray for you or how can I help you? It's like growing your compassion for people. And I think that the more that you commune with the most compassionate one, God, you become more compassionate. And so I love how not only has this grown your relationship with God and like help you become closer to him and have a more intimate relationship with you, but it's literally forming you in the way of Jesus, because it's changing the way that you interact with others and the compassion that you have for others. Because I think I do that a lot, where I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry to hear that. Like, I'll pray for you.
Definitely.
And then I'll forget and I don't take the time. But it's like, what a missed opportunity to like bless someone and show the evidence of your love for them and care for them, but also like God's love and care for them. I just think that's so beautiful.
Yeah. I think something I've been thinking a lot about recently is a verse that we hear a lot, but I feel like when you actually start trying to pray for people, trying to pray about situations, is just that verse that talks about when you don't know what to pray, that the Spirit like groans for you and like prays with you and for you. And then even, you know, learning, we talk about Gentle and Lowly, the book, all the time on this podcast, but there's a chapter where he talks about Christ interceding for us and just how powerful to imagine. Imagine if you heard Christ praying for you in the other room. And so I feel like there's this theological level that a lot of people don't think about, because I hadn't thought about it until these were first introduced to me maybe in the last few years. And sometimes I feel like we think prayer is like on us. It's we're doing the heavy lifting and God's just kind of like waiting for it. And then you realize, oh, well, when I don't know what to pray, you're taking this pressure off. The Spirit knows. God knows our thoughts. So he knows our feelings, and he can help us do that, and to know that Christ is also praying with us. I mean, I'm always going to nerd out on the Trinity, but just the idea that the Trinity is involved in our prayer. It's not just on us. It's a definitely like a, like you said, it's building that relationship. But something that has been helpful to me as I've been challenging myself and praying for other people is when there are sensitive situations or just grief-filled situations, sometimes I can sit there and be really bogged down that I don't even know what to ask for. Do I ask for help and comfort? Do I ask for the situation to end, to be over with? I just can't know. I don't have the wisdom for it. But to be able to rely on the Spirit and just say, like, I'm putting this situation, this person forward for you. And so I would love to hear maybe both of your experiences and thoughts on that, because that's something I've been trying to grow in. But I just feel like it takes, there's just freedom in it. And you also, I feel like you just feel really surrounded, kind of like practicing that presence when it's like, okay, I know I need to pray, and I know that the Spirit is doing it with me, helping me do that, and like Christ as well. So maybe we could just spend some time talking about that.
That's good. If you have a thought, feel free.
I don't know if this is directly answering the question, but I think it brings me a lot of comfort. I work for a church, and a lot of people write in with needs of asking us, like, you know, I have this situation going on. Is there anything that you can do to help? Even if it's just asking for prayers and encouragement. And some of the things that we get written in is really heavy, and it's hard for me because, or it can feel hard for me at times because I'm like, oh, I want to help, but I don't know you. Like, you know, like, I don't know how I can, like, I can't physically go to you. And so, like, I will pray for you. And I think that's honestly been the biggest thing that has recently grown my prayer life, is, like, doing exactly what you said, is, like, seeing and sensing and feeling the pain of other people and going to the only one who can help. I love what you said earlier of, like, the pieces of your prayer life is like humility to know that you can't really do anything to help one another. And so, but then immediately turning to the one who can and like what peace that can bring. And so I think that there's such power in like speaking those words over to people and sharing that word that you feel like the Spirit has put on your heart to encourage them by. And I think that, yeah, that's just something that has been encouraging me recently. And I just pick up the humility piece that you're talking about, and also the God, your will be done thing. I think that when I was younger, it's actually funny, I found a couple years ago this old little prayer that I had written on like a notebook when I was probably in about the third grade. And I really wanted to be a cheerleader in the third grade. That's all I wanted. I wanted to be one of the cool girls. I wanted to do the fun flips. I wanted to fly in the air. I didn't realize I was really tall. I'm like, they would never be able to lift me. Like, I didn't think about any of that. But anyways, I like remember writing in my prayer, in my little prayer to God. I was like, God, if it's your will, make me a cheerleader. Like, literally change my mom's mind and make me a cheerleader. But, like, only if it's your will. Because only if it's your will, that's all that I want. Because I thought that that phrase, your will be done,
it was, like, the secret.
Was, like, the secret code. Like, that will give me what I wanted. But the beautiful thing is it wasn't his will. And I didn't become a cheerleader. But because of that, I was able to start some of the other extracurriculars that, like, brought me to who I was made to be today. Like, I joined debate, and I joined, you know, volleyball team, and, like, all these different things that were, like, so formative on who I am. And so I think that even though that prayer was misguided and the intention was, like, immature, you know, and, like, misguided, like, the Lord was still kind. And when you pray that powerful word of, like, your will be done, even when you don't know what else to pray for someone who is hurting. Like, there is so much power in that, and the Lord is kind in answering that with his sovereignty, like, with his own character. Mm-hmm. And so I take a lot of peace in knowing that. Even when my words fail, I have Jesus sitting at the throne who's helping intercede for me, and also just, like, praying for the Lord's will to be done, and that, like, anything that is painful will be redeemed, because God is primarily a redeemer. He came... His sole purpose, Jesus' sole purpose was to come teach us how to live, but also to, like, die to redeem and defeat hell, sin, and the grave so that we have an opportunity to come face to face with the Lord. Like, he came to redeem everything, and he can redeem any of the darkness or brokenness in any situation in our life for his glory if we invite him into the story. Yeah. And so just, like, praying and, like, remembering kind of, like, you know, what the whole Old Testament is about, of, like, remembering who your God is, and remember who you are, and remember what he came to do, like, reminding myself with stories of his faithfulness in the past, that, like, the Lord can and does redeem the most dark situations and turns it into something really beautiful. And so, like, reassuring myself in that, knowing that, like, when my words fail, praying for his will with the humility that you talk about does more than I can even imagine or see on this side of heaven.
That's good. That is. That's really good. Yes.
I don't know if that answers the question.
No, that's good. That's good.
Yes. And yes, I love that thought that Jesus is interceding for us. That is so amazing because many times we don't know what to pray, even for ourselves, you know. But a lot of times when I am praying or ready to pray for someone, I'll just say, you know, Lord, lead and guide. And there have been times when I'm finished and I'll think a minute or two later, I'm like, oh, I should have prayed for this. I should have prayed for that. But it's so encouraging to know that it's not magic words, you know, it's our heart. And even though when we do pray scripture or pray truth, we know that there is power there. But it's really when you're coming before the Lord on someone's behalf. He knows their needs. He knows what he wants to do. But just to have two people come before him and basically acknowledge we're helpless. You know, we this person's hurting or they need help and he knows what to do. That's just so comforting that it doesn't, you know, depend on us and our words, but that if we're coming before him with humility, with dependence, and just acknowledging we need you to move. I believe he moves in the way that he knows needs to be moved in.
I love that. It's good. Do you have any final thoughts, Olive?
I don't know. I think I'm trying to think of, like, one final question to wrap it all up. Maybe you can hit us with something super practical. Do you have a prayer routine? Do you have a prayer room? Like, are, do you pray in the morning? I know you talk about praying throughout the day, but, like, if there's someone who's like, I'm a new Christian, I've never talked to myself or to a wall before, and that's kind of what prayer feels like right now, like, what would you tell them to do to start, you know, growing in their prayer life?
Well, you've probably heard that little acronym, ACTS.
Yes.
So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I know when I started trying to have a prayer life, I used that, and that was very helpful. And just starting off acknowledging who God is. And that is so powerful right there because it takes our eyes off of us, off of the situation, and you realize, wow, you know, God is big, and when you focus on him, it's like everything kind of diminishes. But I know you had handed us a little kind of, not flyer, but that talked about the attributes of God. I would encourage someone to either have that or have just written down.
Incredible plug, Val. Thank you. It's an attributes bookmark.
Bookmark. I couldn't think of the word. But to start off and actually have it written down, because a lot of times, you know, especially if you're a new believer or growing in this, you don't know what to say or who God is. And so to have a help like that, to start off by focusing and saying, you know, I praise you that you are, and then, you know, say some things. And then confession is huge because it does say, you know, if we're coming to give our gift at the altar and realize, you know, we have something against someone or they have something against us, leave your gift and go be reconciled. Right. And
so good.
So confession is a time to say, Lord, am I harboring anything against anybody, or is there something that I've done that I need to confess? And God is always faithful to show me.
Right.
You know, and sometimes we get so busy we might not always be aware, but if we take time to be still and say, Lord, show me, because I want my heart to be clean before you, he always shows me. And then, you know, Thanksgiving, there's so much we have to be thankful for. I think anyone, you know, you don't need necessarily to have that written down. We can just start with, Lord, thank you for another day of life. Mm-hmm. Thank you for family, friends, a place to live, food, so much to be thankful for. And then the supplication, praying for ourselves, not just ourselves, obviously, and other people. Mm. And so as far as a routine, I think it's each person knowing who they are and what's best for them. Yeah. You know, I know so many times in God's word, it talks about early in the morning, I seek you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's ideal if you get up and start your day focused on him. I would say that is the best. Yeah. But if you have someone that, you know, maybe they work night shift or maybe they're just not a morning person, that doesn't really help them to set aside time then. So, but I would say even if it's just 2 minutes when the alarm clock goes off to turn our thoughts and right away, good morning, Lord. You know, thank you for another day of life. Just I love you, and I pray you'd fill me with your spirit, and let me see what you have for us today. You know, even if it's a quick 2 minute prayer like that, that then in another part in their day or in my day, if that's the kind of morning I have, I do try to definitely set aside time to sit and be still. And then go through kind of the acts. And I do have still a list that really helped me in college. You know, Monday I try to pray for this, Tuesday I try to pray for this. So I do try go through those lists. I'll be honest, it doesn't always happen because sometimes when I'm praying, I'll feel like I'll have a burden and my prayer life will go in another direction. Yeah. So it may be a Monday and I didn't get through my list, but God's okay with that, you know?
Yeah.
And so I try to be not as rigid as what has to happen in that time.
Yeah.
But people do have needs and I have needs. Mm. So I do have lists that I try to bring before him. So I right now usually have my quiet time, my time alone with God. We just have a recliner in our you know, family room, and I usually try to sit there, and that's where I just feel like it's quiet. And but some people, like for them, a walk is better. Yeah. They can focus better being out in nature. Mm-hmm. So it really is finding what works for you. But the most important thing is that time is being set aside for him and to pray for the needs, you know, that he's put on your heart. And I love when you were talking about praying according to your will, because that's a big thing that I've learned. I do have very specific prayer requests for myself, for especially my kids. I mean, if I look back and I look at my journal, you know, really specific things, school or friends or whatever. But I've learned that even with specific prayers, I need to always say, but God, if that's not your will, you know, even something like praying for a certain college and then that didn't happen.
Yeah,
okay, Lord, that wasn't your best. And I trust you that, you know, you love my children and you're leading and guiding at what's best for them and what they need. And so I think an important part of prayer, it's not having like a demanding spirit of, you know, these are my prayer requests and you got to do them, Lord, you know, but God, this is what's on my heart. I lay it before you, but I trust that you love me and you love the people I'm praying about. So help me just to surrender these requests and trust you to work. So
I love that. I feel like praying for his will takes disappointment and turns it into faithfulness, because you may be initially disappointed that what maybe you thought should have happened didn't, But then because you prayed for his will and you believe that his mm-hmm. will is happening, long term, you can see how it was the best right. for you. And yeah. so it takes mm-hmm. that disappointment and turns it into increased faithfulness mm-hmm. in his character. And so mm-hmm. I just think that's so beautiful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's good. Mm-hmm. I used Acts as well. And we have another bookmark also to help with prayer. And we use Acts for mm-hmm. it because I've just found when I've taught prayer, I've just found that that translates the best. It just mm-hmm. makes the most sense. And mm-hmm. Like we listed out some Psalms as well, because I learned a lot of how to pray from just reading the Psalms.
Yeah.
Like we talked about earlier, just because mm-hmm. I didn't know. I, mm-hmm. you know, I felt like my prayers were not what I wanted them to be mm-hmm. in the sense of I didn't feel like I was, they could have been more. And yeah. the Psalms really taught me that. And another thing that a few years ago, this will be my practical tip, but mm-hmm. you know, when you see in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus just says like, give us this day our daily bread. And I heard a sermon a few years ago saying that one way you could interpret that is daily bread being like manna. The manna from the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And so the encouragement was that praying through kind of what you have for your day.
Yeah.
That's something that's been so huge in my mm-hmm. prayer life is just in the morning. It's not just praying like for this thing and that thing, which I do, but it's like, okay, I know what I have to do today. And I'm going to slow down, take time to like pray for what I like want to be doing, what I want the Lord to be doing in me in each of these mm-hmm. aspects mm-hmm. of my day. Mm-hmm. And it's really helped me to slow down
yeah.
and to think through like opportunities that the Lord could be working in my day mm-hmm. and then to ask him to help me be like more susceptible to it. Mm-hmm. So that's maybe my practical tip. I just love doing that. Like yeah. praying mm-hmm. for your daily bread, what mm-hmm. you have for the day, or even on Mondays for the week, you yeah. know? So
that's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pray mm-hmm. through your to-do list. I yes. love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me and my to-do list.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
One thing. Oh, no, go ahead. One quick little thing. You've probably heard this, but yeah. it's a little phrase talking about, you know, am I seeking the giver or am I seeking the gift? Mm-hmm. And yeah. that hit me a lot in my, you know, with my prayers. It's like, Lord, is my focus really, I'm just coming to you with, I need this, I need this, I need mm-hmm. this. Or is my focus, I get to be with you.
Yeah,
I want to know you. I want to know you. I mean, yes. I guess that's the best thing to say, God. Yeah. I just don't want to, you know, bring my request yeah. to you, but I really want to know you. And I think about like Moses when it talks about how he went into the tent of meeting just to be in God's presence. Yeah. And yeah. Moses, beautiful. You know, God, he knew God well. And mm-hmm. Abraham was called a friend of God mm-hmm. because they just spent time with God and were mm-hmm. in his presence. And, mm-hmm. and that's what I want more than anything is yeah. just to know him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's an incredible note to end on.
Yeah.
I kind of would love for you to pray for anyone who's maybe listening, pray yeah. for us, for the podcast. Mm-hmm. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
No, but that's fine.
I just yeah. would love, I feel like if we're doing an episode on prayer, like we need to pray for anyone mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. the prayer might land on.
Yeah.
So I'd
yeah.
love for you to lead us
sure.
in prayer to close
sure.
out.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you so much.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, Lord, I do thank you so much for Kylie and Olive and just giving them a heart, Father, to want to encourage people with you and your word and with prayer. And I love that you put this idea on their heart and that they're being obedient to it, Lord. And I do pray, Father, that you would fill them with your spirit and with wisdom and with strength, Lord, everything that they need to be obedient to what you've called them to do. And Lord, I pray for all of us, for the three of us here and for those listening, mm-hmm. that you would help us all to grow in prayer, Father. You tell us in your word that you want us to pray, and you even gave us an example of how to pray, Father. So prayer, that's your idea, and that's mm-hmm. a privilege that you give us. And so we all want to grow in that, Lord. So would you please help all of us, wherever we are, just to understand more about prayer, understand more about you, and grow in that. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we love you. We are so grateful for the privilege of knowing you. We just can't imagine life without you. Mm-hmm. So thank you for who you are. Thank you for dying for us. And thank you for not leaving us as orphans, but giving us your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. And again, we are just so grateful. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you so much for joining us, Val. Yes. This was such a great conversation. And yeah. Thank you so much.
Sure. Yes. Yeah, it was wonderful. I learned a lot from you two. I wish I was taking notes. I'll have to listen back. And but so really, I mean, you both have a lot of wisdom at a young age, and I'm excited to see how God will work in and through you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Well, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you on our next episode.
See you later. Thanks for joining us for that conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in finding out more, you can follow us on Instagram or head over to our website at thescripturesociety.com.